Amen. Now do it with a Kiwi accent. No, I'm kidding. Can't help myself. Because I have an accent too, so we're in the same boat. Study. And then it says rightly dividing. Amen? And we talked about that when we talked about dispensations maybe 6 months ago, how we rightly divide the Word of God. So last Sunday we talked about the passage study and how we break it down. Let's see if I can sharpen that up at all. Oh, much better. If you have a certain kind of glasses on. Okay. So remember, you want to get the whole context when you study a passage. And then always start with the words and work your way out. Don't start with a commentary and work your way in. Okay, start with the words. Start with every word of God is pure. So start understanding the words, understanding the phrases, understanding the verses. Work your way out. And make sure that you have a good understanding. Then you form your own outline, as we practiced last week. After you have highlighted your passages that speak to you or that say something, and then you find cross-references for each one, form your outline, and then form your title. So work your way from the inward out when you're studying a passage, like we talked last week. Any questions about a passage study that we didn't capture last week? Anybody at all? So from there, we'll talk about a chapter summary, very similar to a passage study. That's kind of small, isn't it? Sorry. I'll read it. So it says, read the chapter 5 times, once aloud. Because believe it or not, it actually sinks in better if you read it aloud at least once. And list any observations. At this point, you're just listing observations. You're not doing an in-depth study yet. Then you're going to start asking questions. And that's the key to doing a chapter study, is the questions that you ask. So the questions are, what's the main subject? What's the most prominent truth of the chapter? What's the best verse? And is it so good that I should add it to my list of memory verses? I seem to say that a lot. Who are the principal characters of the chapter? Or is there a principal person? And is anything revealed about that person in this chapter, about their character? What does it teach about our Lord? And is there a new truth in this chapter that I've learned as I've studied it? And what promises can I claim from this chapter? Has it spoken to me about a certain sin in my life? So you see, what you're trying to do is, how does this chapter speak to me? And that's what it's all about when you study God's Word. Is you're making it personal. Amen? So this isn't a study on Bible doctrine. This is a study of God's Word for yourself. And that's the key, is you're making it personal. Now, why is that important, that we make it personal? Any thoughts? That we're not just there to dig so that we have knowledge. Why is it important that we make it as personal as possible? Howard? Okay, so it'll mean more to you. Exactly, it means more to you. Brad? Exactly. That's the purpose, isn't it? The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it can find the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, but it can't do any of those things if we don't study it. So we're there to give the Word an opportunity to speak to us and to ultimately change us. Amen? Brother Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's to change us, exactly. But I mean, you know, these many cults that use the Word to change them, but not for the good.
Right? Absolutely.
And so it's the important part is understanding the Word, the context,
yep.
Who's speaking to, who's relating to. Nail those down first before saying, does this apply to me?
Right. You always have to follow the 12 rules. So that's a given, that the rules we talked about, you can't ever break those rules. But what you're doing with a devotional chapter summary, and the word devotional means it's for you, is you're trying to personalize it. Now, here's another study, which is just the opposite. Here, it's not so much personal, but now it's topical or doctrinal. So now what you're trying to do is understand a doctrine better or a certain truth. Like maybe you want to understand the deity of Christ or maybe the doctrine of justification. Pick it. And you want to understand that better. It's a doctrine that you're not heavily familiar with. So you're now going to do a study on it. So that means you're going to have to trace it, as it says there, through the entire Bible. That's the only way to truly understand a doctrine or a truth. You don't just look at the one passage. You look at every passage in the Scriptures. Remember that one of the rules is comparing Scripture with Scripture. So that you can have a full understanding of that particular truth or doctrine. And as it says here on number two, don't ask questions. So notice the opposite. If you're making it devotional, you're asking questions. But now, no, you're letting the Bible speak for itself. If it's a doctrinal or you're studying a certain truth, let the Bible teach you. So you don't have to come at it with questions. You just keep studying and finding cross-references and just keep studying and writing it down. And as you look up all the cross-references, what you're going to find are subtopics for that truth. For whatever it is you choose. Like if you chose something big, like say the deity of Christ, there's going to be a lot to it. Like his names that prove his deity or his attributes that prove his deity, things like that. So you're going to end up with subtopics that reinforce the overall topic that you're studying. And then once you've done that, you can generate your own outline with the subtopics. So this one isn't about what does this say to me as much as what is this truth in Scripture, and make sure you get a good overall understanding. This is a lot of work because you got to do a lot of cross-referencing, Old Testament, New Testament, all across the Scriptures. It takes a while to find those references. Get them all down, get the truths down, and then get the subtopics. So this is important for better understanding a certain doctrine. Any questions about this one? So notice how totally different those are. Chapter summary versus a doctrinal study. All right, now this is a different study. And by the way, like I said last week, there are many, many ways to study Scripture. I'm just giving you some suggestions, some starting points. And that's a character trait. We all have a besetting sin, according to Hebrews 12. So why not do a Bible study on your besetting sin? What trait is it that you know that God wants you to have that you don't have? What character trait? And there's plenty of character traits in Scripture that God wants us to have. Amen? He wants us to be like Jesus. He's conforming us to the image. So now you're doing similar to a doctrinal study, but now you're studying a trait. Anybody have any ideas? Some examples?
Patience.
Patience, that's a good one. What else? Any others? Kindness. Forgiveness. We could go on right all morning. There's probably at least 50 of them that we could come up with. So you're going to pick one, and the goal is to build that in your own life. But you're still going to do an in-depth study. So you're going to start by understanding the trait itself, by looking it up in a dictionary. You're going to get the definitions from the scriptural point of view, looking up the Hebrew and the Greek that are behind that word in the English, so that it just adds more understanding to what that really means, what that trait really is. Then, of course, cross-references. Keep cross-referencing until you believe you have a good understanding of that trait. Then it might not hurt to find a person in Scripture that really displays that in their life and do a small study on that person. That might drive it home a bit more. And, of course, if you're doing a character trait study and it's for you, you got to find at least one memory verse and make that part of the arsenal that the Holy Spirit can use the next time the devil tries to use that besetting sin against you. Now you've got more to resist the devil with. Amen? The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. And even put together a project for improving in this area. Maybe set some goals. But a memory verse is key here. So notice how you can come at the Bible from so many different ways, depending on what your goal is. Is it to understand a truth? Is it to help you with a certain weakness in your own life? Is it to help you have a better understanding of a book or a chapter in Scripture? Or is it to really understand a certain passage as you're walking through, like maybe you're studying through the book of 1 Peter, let's say, and you're going to study each passage individually. You're going to find each passage, the whole context, study it. Stay there until you got it. Then move to the next one. Move to the next one. Move to the next one until you've finished it. And then you've done your own personal study on a whole book. So any thoughts or questions so far? All right, so biographical. This is where you're studying a person. And what you're doing is getting all the verses you can about that person. That's why you don't start with Jesus for your first one. Or even Paul, or even David. Start a little bit smaller. And you're going to pick a person. Typically, you might pick someone who displays traits that you really want to emulate in your own life. But you're going to really do an in-depth study on this person's life. You're going to try to see things from their viewpoint. You're going to do a chronological outline of their life. Once you get all these scriptures, you're going to try to get them in chronological order. You're going to show how biblical things are illustrated through their life, positive and negative. And then start asking, what did I see in this person that I want? And what did I see that I don't want in my life? So, because the Bible is amazing in that it shows that we are sinners. Amen? If it was written by men, it wouldn't put all these Bible characters in any negative light, because that's the way we are, right? When we write biographies about people, typically it's very positive. But when God writes a biography, he's straight up about the pluses and the minuses in that person's life. Even the man after God's own heart. God didn't leave out the Bathsheba story, did he? Okay, so that's a biographical. And then the last, just we'll talk about a book survey. And again, start small. Pick a smaller book. And what you're going to do is read through the book several times, making observations, just like with the chapter summary. Come up with your own title of the book as far as what you believe the main topic is. And by the way, when you're doing a chapter or a book study, I should have said this earlier, one of the other powers that you have with the Bible program, search program, is you can, and you probably should, do a search of the words, how many times they occur. And that's a lot easier to do with the Bible program on a computer than it is doing it yourself. But what you can do is, if you're studying a book, as you're walking through it and you come across a key word, just do a quick search. How many times does this word show up? And by the time you get to the end, you're going to be able to say, you know, the word, the most common word in this book is. Like the Gospel of John, which we're studying on Wednesday night. Anybody remember what the two most common words are? I've mentioned them a couple of times. Life is one of them. I don't actually remember, so I have to look. But anybody can do this. You just get your Bible program, life and believe. Believe shows up 100 times in John. So just knowing that fact, that believes shows up 100 times, and life shows up 60-some times in John, you immediately know a lot about John, don't you? What's the main thing that John's trying to get across? That we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. And sure enough, that is the main theme of John. So you can do that for any book just by studying how many times the words occur. And you're going to take the time to understand the historical context of the book. Who wrote it and when? And why? You need to understand those things, because that will help you understand, as you're studying through it, what was the author trying to get across. Every book has a purpose, an ultimate purpose, right? The purpose of John is different than the purpose of Matthew. Even though they're both Gospels, the overall purpose, yes, is to record the life of Jesus Christ, but the audience is completely different. And if you're studying one of the prophets, for example, one of their books, find out why they wrote it, when they wrote it, who they were writing it to, and that will help you as you study through it. And as with the other studies, you're going to be looking for a theme, you're going to look for key words, key verses, and end up with an outline. So any thoughts or questions about